The decision by the head of Missouri's public defender system to appoint Governor Jay Nixon to handle a case in protest of withheld funding is highlighting the dramatic funding challenges facing the system. Public defenders provide legal services to the poor, but these days, those who oversee the system say it's woefully underfunded. The system is short hundreds of attorneys. Meantime, lawyers who do work for the system are overworked, sometimes overseeing 125 to 200 cases at a time. Today, a look at the challenges facing Missouri's public defenders. With us, Michael Barrett is the director of Missouri's public defender system. Michael, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Ruth Petch heads the Jackson County Public Defender's Office. Ruth, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
And also back with us again is Sean O'Brien. Sean is a UMKC law professor, and he's been director of various criminal defense clinics at the UMKC School of Law since back in the early 1980s. Professor O'Brien served as a chief public defender in Kansas City from 1985 through 1989. And Sean, welcome back.
Thank you.
Michael, you've assigned Governor Jay Nixon to a case. He says you don't have the authority to do so. So is the governor going to get a case through your system or not?
The governor has a case through my system, and I do have the authority. The governor is certainly willing, able to go challenge that authority. He's going to have to point to something as the basis for that challenge. I have a pretty unambiguous statute at my disposal that allows me to appoint any member in good standing in the Missouri Bar to represent one of these cases.
And what's the case he's going to handle?
Well, it's in Cole County. It's an assault case. The individual is out on bond, which was important. It's just the type of case that is one of 200 cases that any one of the public defenders in the system have at any one time.
Sean O'Brien, maybe you can mediate this difference here because the governor again says that Michael doesn't have this authority. Is the governor required to take this case or not, in your view?
Lots of levels to answer that question. As lawyers, we all take
I don't get
them.
A yes or no here, do I?
You don't, not from a law professor. The answer is always it depends.
Yes.
But, you know, on one level, as a member of the Missouri Bar, we're all obliged to make sure there's equal justice under the law. So he has a broad ethical duty to make sure that happens. But number two, the statute that Mike just referred to is it says he has the power to delegate representation to any member of the bar. So the statute is pretty clear. Like so many things, the Missouri Supreme Court has said various things about it that says maybe yes, maybe no. So it's not, I think, a solid proposition, but I'm anxious to see how this turns out.
That's interesting. Michael, Governor Nixon was pretty firm about what his administration has done for public defenders during his years in office. He says the system has seen a 15% increase in funding at the same time that other agencies have had to tighten their belts. What about that?
I think it's very curious that he uses the percentage instead of the actual dollars. You know, if I gave you a if you had a dollar in 2009 and, you know, 8 years later I gave you another dollar, I can say that I increased you by 100%. But if you look behind the curtain, you'll see that's just not the case. I mean, we were already the second least funded system in the country. And if you look at that 15%, only about 5 to 6% of it actually goes to providing legal services. You know, the rest of the stuff is, you know, at any given time, the legislature passes, you know, money for IT, money to increase our bar dues, the 2% raise that all state employees got this year. None of that translates into actual provision of legal services for the poor. So you know what? We're not going to count that. What we're looking at is that 5 to 6% since 2009. During that same stretch of time, our costs have gone up 18%. And just over the last year, our cases increased from 74,000 cases a year to 82,000 cases a year.
So this is an example. It sounds like you've just reached the end of your rope, that you've seen the governor withhold money. Money hasn't been appropriated each year. And, Michael, you're just done. And that's why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah, this is not something you do with the first go. This is following five high-level task forces that studied this issue. We're the only state that's undergone an ABA, American Bar Association, sponsored audit that established caseloads. We had the Department of Justice come in here last year and saying that poor children didn't get their constitutional rights in large part due to the lack of public defenders. This has been studied six ways from Sunday. And even with that, that deep dive on reviewing our system and our caseload, the ABA said we needed 200 plus new lawyers. In the wake of that, he still cuts us.
You know, one more thing the governor said I wanted you to respond to, Mike. The governor also said that the public defender system will receive more than $1 million in additional funding this fiscal year, despite the fact that you guys failed to spend $1.8 million of your available funding in the fiscal year that just ended. And you say what to that?
Yeah, here's what I say to that. You know, last year he cut us $3.5 million. So if yesterday I take four pencils from you and today I give you a pencil, I didn't give you a pencil. I took away three pencils.
Yeah.
And, you know, to his argument that we left money on the table, it's just not true. I'm happy to provide documentation showing we left 52 cents on the table at the end of the fiscal year. He needs better budget people. What he's referring to is an appropriation authority. There's a pot of money where the legislature gives us authority to spend up to $1.8 million for something. There's no money in that pot.
You know, you guys have actually sued the Nixon administration over withheld funding. The governor withheld $3.5 million of a $4.5 million increase. You filed suit in June. Where does that suit stand?
Well, we have to respond to a motion to dismiss today, which is what I'll be doing when I leave here. That's the next step.
Okay. Ruth Petsch, you head the Jackson County Public Defender Office. Tell us about the workloads that public defenders in your office face these days. I saw a stat that said that each defender is managing a caseload, as I said in the opening, of 125 to 200 cases. Do I have that right?
You do have that right. My office statewide tends to be on the lower range of that, but statewide, those are the numbers. And so we are closer to the 125 number, but you have that right.
How does that number compare to what a typical attorney in private practice might be overseeing?
I think a typical attorney in private practice generally has a fraction of that caseload.
Meaning 20, 30?
Yes.
How does a lawyer oversee 125 cases simultaneously?
Well, there's a lot of corners that have to be cut. There's a lot of clients who don't get seen or don't get contact the way that they want and need contact. There's a lot of people working hours and hours and hours without any relief. There's no way to sustainably do it and give each case the time and attention it needs.
How many hours a week are your lawyers typically working here in Jackson County? What are you seeing amongst your folks?
I don't have that number, but I can tell you last year, 11 and a half weeks of leave were not used, meaning my attorneys work so much they can't use their annual leave and it gets taken away.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked up that number this morning. So That's how many hours they're working. They have paid leave that they can't use,
mm-hmm.
and to the tune of 11 plus weeks.
Sean O'Brien, you know, corners are getting cut, you just heard. You've heard that a lot over the years. Why should the average person listening to this care about corners being cut?
I'll tell you who really cares is our friend Joe Amrine at the Innocence Project.
I know
Project.
Joe.
Yep. At the Innocence Project, we represent people who were defended by the defender system. And, you know, I love public defenders. I used to be a public defender. I have nothing but admiration for people who fight in the trenches. But at the same time, when you've got so many cases, you can't get on top of that alibi defense. You know, videotapes get erased. They get lost. Evidence gets lost. Witnesses get cross-examined about alibi because they didn't get talked to about the alibi till a year after the event. Well, how can you remember that date a year later? So the delay keeps a person from getting a fair trial. But the law in Missouri is such that they don't, the defendant doesn't benefit from that delay.
So this says what about the sanctity of Missouri's public defender system?
It's been in crisis mode ever since.
We've done shows on it as long as 8 years ago.
Yeah.
10 years ago.
To hear I'm at the end of my rope with this, you'll see a headline of the Kansas City Star in 1989, you know, public defender resigns because he's at the end of his rope. that was me, you know, in 1989.
Is that why you resigned?
It is why I resigned. There was a the legislature, for once, had been fairly generous in reforming the system and pumping a lot of money into it. And then the governor at the time, Governor Ashcroft, used his line item veto to just slash it back to essentially zero increase in terms of numbers of lawyers in my office.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I just can't do this anymore. So yeah. I left. And since then, I've made a career out of proving that the defender system doesn't provide effective representation, mainly in mm-hmm. death penalty cases.
So fair and full representation when it comes to these folks in the system, poor Missourians, you're saying point blank, Sean, it isn't happening.
It doesn't exist. We yeah. have two justice systems, one for people of means and one for people without the means. And the people without the means, it functions more like a sausage grinder for them.
Mike?
Yeah, you know, Sean's not alone. We have, unfortunately, a 20% turnover rate. A lot of great, skilled, and dedicated attorneys like Sean who leave the system primarily because they feel like they can't ethically do what they need to do for their clients. Here, you know, you mentioned, you know, why does the ordinary person care? You know, if it's not just the, you know, the sanctity of justice, it's the tax dollars. There's a direct correlation between an adequate defense and the prison population. We are second to last in the United States under a national crisis in indigent defense, second to last.
Missouri is.
Missouri
saying.
Is, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we are eighth highest to the rate at which we incarcerate our citizens. It's a pretty glaring correlation. The DOC budget, the corrections budget, has gone up from $575 million in 2006 to $727 million 10 years later. These are your education dollars, these are your health care dollars, and they're mutually exclusive. When they're tied up in back-end incarceration, they can't be spent on other things.
You know, Ruth, when Mike was talking about turnover, you were nodding your head. You've seen a lot of that in Jackson County here?
Absolutely. The year before last, we lost 10 attorneys in a 34-person office.
Wow.
And that's a huge impact. But there comes a point where experienced attorneys who have learned the craft or learned as much as they feel they need to, can go out there, make more money, and not be on this sort of hamster wheel of work. My folks work and work and work, and there's no end to it, and there's no relief. And I have great people, and they're very dedicated, and they work very hard. But the stress level of just having trial after trial is tremendous, and it scares people, and they want downtime and they want to see their families. And it's hard to blame people for creating an exit. But
how difficult is it to recruit lawyers, young lawyers, to work in this hamster wheel environment you just described?
Well, I try very hard to be upfront with people that it's a hard job and you're going to work a lot of hours. And at least in the more urban offices, we don't have as much trouble as people in the rural offices. But certainly, you want great people in there, and our starting salary is under $40,000. If you compare that to the prosecutor's office, who starts at $44,000, who's starting at $5,000 more, but when you exit law school, that's a lot of money. That's a draw. And I'm not saying the prosecutors do not deserve what they're paying. I think they deserve that and more. It's a matter of what's balanced and fair and what's going to bring people to your office and quality people.
Well, let me just ask, why would any lawyer who goes to law school, and I assume most of them accrue this big debt to pay for law school, go to work for a public defender system that's going to pay them $40,000 a year? How does that work?
I think the people that come are committed to what we do. I think they're committed to ensuring that poor people don't go to prison, that their rights are protected. But I have a lot of people who have to cut a lot of corners financially, at home, and just to make ends meet. So I think a lot of their desire to join us comes from conviction. It's certainly not to make money. They they'd be foolish if they came to me to make money.
So the message here, Mike, is that Missouri public defenders, the public can't sit back and think, oh, those are fat cat lawyers who are getting paid too much money if the starting salary is in the $40,000 range.
It's not just that. It's we all know what it costs to hire a lawyer. And we resolved last year 72,000 cases from misdemeanors all to the top level felonies. And if you separate out the capital cases, we resolved those 72,000 cases for, on average, with some overhead, for $350 per case.
An impressive number.
Yeah, you know, it should give people pause as to whether, you know, we're doing what we need to do on these cases when we're able to resolve them for just $350 per case.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR, and we're talking about the state of Missouri's public defender system and its financial difficulties in the wake of a controversy last week involving Governor Jay Nixon, who's been asked now to handle a case in the system as a result of him withholding dollars from Missouri public defenders going back a number of years. You know, Ruth, again, you head the Jackson County office here. How often do you see cases come up and get handled in a way that leaves you wondering if justice was really served there or not?
Frequently.
Yeah.
From my concerns about my lawyers being able to do everything they can to people being held in custody to see if you plead, you can get out. If you don't plead, you stay in. Obviously, that always makes me concerned that that people aren't getting justice. And our overload contributes to that. That it takes a long time to get to trial. So you may sit in jail and not work and have your family not provided for because you're a public defender client. And I have months of trials. Most of my attorneys are setting trials into spring of 2017 or summer of 2017 right now.
So you're talking about waiting 8, 9, 10 months just to get to the trial phase.
Right.
Yeah. You know, Sean, I'm wondering if the average enlightened Missourian was aware of this situation as we're describing it here today, if there wouldn't be more outrage being expressed as to what's going on here, because this is just jaw-dropping to me.
It is. And, you know, the case that gets people's attention typically is a case like Ricky Kidd here in Jackson County, where you've got an innocent person defended by a lawyer who's probably a pretty decent lawyer, but she's too overworked to do the investigation. And, you know, maybe they'll think about it when they realize, you know, they've got a real killer on the loose because they prosecuted and convicted the wrong guy.
Mm-hmm.
That may seem like an aberrational case because we don't have the resources to drill down on every case. But again, you know, our friend Joe Amrine says, you know, down in the prison, I see these young 17, 18, 16-year-old kids coming into the penitentiary. If I was a lawyer, I would do everything I could to keep my kid out, my client, out of the prison. You know, what can we be doing to stop that? I mean, it really costs money to incarcerate, and it's costing, you know, $30,000 a prisoner per year.
You know, what you're saying, you know, Sean, is that, you know, we sit around and do radio shows when the Joe Amrines of the world come around. But what you're suggesting here is that there are dozens, if not hundreds, of inmates in our system right now who may be there wrongfully for crimes far less dramatic than murder. And those cases are just being lost in the shuffle here.
You know, conservative estimates of how many people in prison are innocent run from 2 to 5%, some as high as 7 or 8%. And so when you're looking at the United States of America, you're talking about a city the size of Independence that is incarcerated in spite of innocence. It's a lot of people. And, you know, the numbers in Missouri, you know, most of the clients are doing time 15 years or less. It takes on average 11 years to prove somebody's innocence through the Innocence Project. And so we're seeing a lot of innocent people probably finishing their sentences before their appeals can be heard.
And that's amazing in and of itself there.
Yeah.
Mike, how do your lawyers across the state deal with the kind of pressure they're under on a day-in, day-out basis? I imagine the burnout rate must be a phrase you hear a lot.
Yeah, it's reflected in our turnover. 1 in 5 of our attorneys leave every year, you know, And unfortunately, we're losing the good ones, the ones that, that know what they need to do on cases and just don't have the hours in the day to do it.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing, Ruth, that the public defender system tends to attract younger lawyers who might be a little on the idealistic side, as we just talked about. Getting into this system has to be a pretty rude awakening for a lot of them.
Yes, I think that's true. And we definitely
Do they come to you and sit down and say, I just had no idea what I was getting into here?
Yeah. Well, and some of them come to you crying, just saying, I feel like I'm not doing a good job. I feel they really internalize this insanity, which is too bad because it's the last thing I want to do is break a person by bringing them into my workplace. But they really feel like they want to do all these things for our clients. And then, you know, there's 50 voicemails every day. And being able to follow up, you could work all day and all night and not get it done.
So how do you teach your lawyers, your young lawyers, to prioritize? How do you help them manage this incredible pressure they're under?
I don't know that I do that very well, as far as I work as many hours as anybody else. But I certainly, you try and get them to use the small amount of support staff we have as well as you can. You try and help people organize, because that's not always a skill a lot of us learn in law school, as far as organizing your time. Yeah. But yeah, you know, there are some things where it's like you're just going to work more hours.
You know, Mike, last week, State Senator Kurt Schaefer, who has called for more money for public defenders, told KCUR that it will get to a point when the constitutional violations to defendants will be clear enough that they will start letting criminal defendants go. Is that really where we're at here?
Yeah, and that's coming from a tough career prosecutor in Kurt Schaefer. You know, there's certainly the prosecutors out there that understand they want a strong public defender system because they want to they don't want to achieve justice. And when there's such an imbalance, there's such an inequity, then you really run the risk. You're really getting risky in terms of getting the wrong answer.
That's the voice of Michael Barrett. He's the director of Missouri's Public Defender System. Also joining us today, Ruth Petch, who heads the Jackson County Public Defender's Office, and Sean O'Brien, who's a UMKC law professor. Thank you all for a very good conversation on the plight of Missouri's public defender system. We'll be watching.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.